May I say what a privilege it is to be here among folks who have a place in their heart for God, a place in their heart for Mary, and probably both. Thank you very much. I would like to share a few thoughts, and I will not be speaking for very long, from a verse that Gwen read to us. It's the first verse of 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It was some years ago now that my wife and I made a journey to South Wales to help with a Christian camp for young people. When we eventually arrived, no thanks to Welsh nationalists who had mutilated most of the directions on the signpost, when we eventually arrived, we were surprised to find the field deserted. Closer inspection revealed some evidence of recent encampment, the odd tent peg, flattened areas of grass. Unknown to us, there were no mobile phones in those days, as we've been reminded. Unknown to us, the weather in South Wales the previous night had been so severe that the camp that had been erected the day before had to be hastily dismantled. Responding to a shout, we found the campers sheltering in a nearby barn where they had spent the night with the sheep. Their tents had become uninhabitable, but they had found a refuge with the sheep. In the verse that we had read to us, Paul uses the analogy of a tent, likening it to our body. It was an apt analogy because a tent is a place only of temporary use. Can I say this? We are all campers in this world, are we not? Paul was, by trade, a tent maker, stroke repairer. And he knew full well that the time comes when the tent is no longer fit for purpose and beyond repair. To use familiar lines, age wearies them, and the years condemn. Can say the same and frequently do about folk. Age wearies them and the years condemn. That is, condemn to death. I'm a maths teacher. That's a confession. And I give you this thought. Human beings, people, are examples of the whole exceeding the sum of the parts. A chemist could account for every gram of your total mass, and yet not have started to account for you as a person. Two individuals could have identical chemical and physical specifications and yet be totally different the one from the other. What accounts for this difference between our parts and our person? It is not physical. The Bible refers to it as the soul. It is akin to your very personhood, your personality. I speak to elderly people from time to time, and they all say this. They say that although they are getting old, they still feel the same inside. They still feel as they felt when they were young. This is the soul talking. The soul that is not subject to age. Age does not weary the soul, nor the years condemn. The verse goes on, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When the time comes and our earthly tent, our body, is no longer fit for purpose, and the soul requires a refuge, God provides one. It is not a tent, a temporary building. Where we go after we die, we stay. It is a permanent building. You say, well, this is just imagery. Tents, buildings, it's just imagery. So it is. But it is imagery of reality, isn't it? This building is not made with hands. Houses built by men are subject sometimes to dereliction. Not this one. God has built this one, and it is not upon earth, it is in the heavens. You know, death is not the end. The soul does not die with the body. We continue in a state of conscious existence. Heaven speaks of a dimension of which we know nothing. We are familiar with three dimensions. We cannot put a figure upon the dimension to which the soul will go. Can I ask you, do you have a comfort zone? I hope you do. Because we need one, don't we? We can exclude those things that cause us fears, anxieties and uncertainties, and we can retreat into a sphere in which we feel comfortable. I tell you this, as you get older, so your comfort zone comes in upon you. You are, for various reasons, unable to occupy all of it anymore. I'll tell you what Mary's comfort zone was, shall I? Her ultimate comfort zone, when all those other things that she had enjoyed had been taken away because of advancing years and disability. Mary's comfort zone was in the promises of her God, the God with whom she had a personal relationship through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died to be our Saviour. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and here it is, and they shall never perish. What a comfort zone is that? They shall never perish. I began by talking to you about campers whose tents had become uninhabitable and who found a refuge with the sheep. I invite you to do the same, to find a refuge when the time comes with those sheep who follow the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. There is some sadness here today, and so there should be. Do not be ashamed of your tears, whether shed or bottled up. But there is no despair. I have spoken with undertakers, and they speak of the difference that they feel in Christian funerals. There is no despair. We stand on the promises of a faithful God. I was listening to Radio 4 the other day, another confession. My son thinks I'm a very sad man. It is a habit rather than a choice, I assure you. And someone, not speaking from a Christian point of view, said this: when the time comes for me to die, I want to know I could look my friends in the eye and know I have told them the truth. Mary would have gone along with that. So do I. Thank you, Michael. Yes, please come up. Thank you, Arthur. We're going to pray now. And in the conclusion of these prayers, we will pray together the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. Father God, we do thank you for today and for the time that we have had here in fond memory and in rejoicing in your great love and the salvation that you have provided. We thank you for all the memories that have been brought to us, the tributes, just telling such a small portion of a long life. But we thank you for Betty, Mary, who trusted you when she was 5 or 6 years old. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for ever saving her. We thank you for what you did in her life. We give you all glory. We pray for everyone here, Lord, who is closely related to her, those who loved her most and who feel her loss. We especially pray for Sarah and Paul and Jeff and Gwen and other close relatives, that you will be close and near to them and continue to provide them with your comfort and even with that joy which comes from knowing that loved ones are with Christ, which is far better, and that one day we shall meet again. We thank you for the great Christian hope. We really do praise you for it. We thought of this before, Lord, but we praise you for all who are here, families of people who have, by faith, come to know our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We praise you. We praise you for all that we have had in the readings that have come to us, have reminded us of the great realities, the truths. For what has just been brought to us, we praise you for this, that we have a building of God in the heavens. We look forward to seeing Betty again, and Lord, we look forward especially, those of us who have been saved by your grace, to seeing you face to face. We just pray, Lord, then, that for the rest of the time together, and as especially as those leave here, as it were, and go off and take up the cudgels of life again, that you will go before them and encourage them. Help them be encouraged by the fact that Betty prayed for them as a family, and we pray that all those prayers will be answered. So we offer you our praise and thanks as we pray in the way the Lord Jesus instructed his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.